for your word this morning. And we ask that as we just open up our hearts, that your spirit would speak to us, that you would strengthen us, that you'd give us more faith, that you'd help us to grow and to just become more and more of what you've called us to be. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, let me start out by telling you the story of World War II bomber called Lady Be Good. It was a massive airplane that had flown many successful missions. Many times she punctured through the enemy airspace, completed her mission, and then returned back to base. But her last flight was different. After she completed her mission, she reversed course and headed back home. However, as she returned, a powerful tailwind pushed her along much faster than normal. And when the instruments on the airplane told the pilots to land, the men looked at their watches and felt it was much too soon. And so they had to face a critical decision. If they relied on their instruments, they could come down out of the clouds and prepare to land. But if they believed their watches, they would keep on flying. However, to come down too soon might expose them to enemy anti-aircraft fire. On the other hand, if they didn't come down, they may overshoot the airfield and would perish in the desert. So life and death was in their own hands. Should they trust their instruments, or should they trust their own judgment? The men chose to ignore the instruments and stick with their gut feelings. They stayed up, and they overshot the airfield. The plane was found much, much later, out of fuel, crashed in the desert, and all the crew lost their lives. In a similar way, each of us faces a critical decision. In a sense, we are all flying on the Lady Be Good of life. We're all making a similar choice when deciding where to land as our final destination. We can either look within ourselves for those answers, or we can search beyond ourselves. We must either trust our gut, our hunches, or look for an instrument panel. And that instrument panel is the Bible. It is the great cosmic instrument panel of life. It tells us where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. It's up to us to decide whether or not to accept the readings it's giving us. And like the decision they had to make on the Lady Be Good, our choices are a serious one, as serious as life or death. And that's why the Bible is more than just a book. It's unique. It's like no other. The Bible is not a philosophy book, although it is philosophical. The Bible is not a science book, although it is consistent with science. The Bible is not a history book, although it is historically accurate. The Bible is God's word, inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And God gave us the Bible so we could know God and grow spiritually. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." See, God gave us the Bible, these written things, so we could have something more, so that we could have life by the power of Jesus' name. Over the last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about spiritual growth, and I've been talking about having something more. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In other words, he came so we could have something more than this world has to offer. Jesus came to give us life, and not just an ordinary life or an empty life. He came to give us an abundant life, one where we experience the power of God's Spirit living and working in us every day. Jesus came to give us spiritual life. We started out a few Sundays back talking about where our spiritual journey begins. It begins when God's Spirit comes to live inside of us and gives us new life. When that happens, God's power, God's Spirit changes our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. We also looked at how God's Spirit empowers us to grow in holiness. Now that's a vital part of spiritual growth because God wants us to live a sanctified life. Today I want to continue by looking at how the Bible helps us grow, how it enlightens us and empowers us to grow spiritually. And so to explain this, I'd like us to turn to a portion of Scripture that makes this clear. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, in this part of the Bible, we find the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor named Timothy. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to preach and teach the Bible faithfully. And as he does, he makes a very important statement here about the Bible. So starting in verse 16, he says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Now, as we look at these verses, we see several ways in which the Bible empowers us to live a spiritual life. For starters, we see that the Apostle Paul begins with making an incredible statement. He says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." He's telling us, of course, that the Bible is God's Word. He's telling us that it comes from God. It's really an incredible statement when you think about it. I mean, obviously, the Bible, it's obvious that the Bible is an amazing spiritual book, unlike any other book that's ever been written. And maybe that's why it's the best selling book of all time, the most popular book in the world. Now, back in the 18th century, there was an atheist philosopher named Voltaire who said, 100 years from today, the Bible will be forgotten. It's been well past 100 years since he made that statement. And today, it's estimated that over 100 million Bibles are sold or given away every year. And it's estimated that over the last 200 years, about 2.5 billion Bibles have been sold. That's astounding. The Bible is truly an amazing book. But when Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God, he doesn't just mean it's an inspirational or stimulating book. Like when we hear the story of someone who overcame difficult circumstances, we might find their story inspirational. We might even find that it motivates us to have a better outlook on life. We might hear a beautiful singing voice and call that performance inspiring because it moved us personally. But that's not how Paul is describing the Bible. It's not just a book of moving stories and motivational quotes. Although we do find those things in the Bible, it's something more than that. It's something much richer and much more significant. When Paul says that the Bible is God's Word, he's saying that the very Creator who breathed life into Adam also breathed life into this book. You see, the literal meaning here for the word inspired is to breathe into. It literally means that all Scripture is breathed into by God or breathed by God. Now, when someone speaks, they, of course, use their breath. Their breath carries and creates their voice, which expresses their thoughts and their ideas and their wishes. In a similar way, the Bible is God's voice, and through the Bible, God speaks to us. It's a written word, but when we read it, God's voice speaks to our hearts. And before you take me too literally, let me explain that not every conversation or action that's recorded in the Bible is God's. Some parts of the Bible record the words of evil and foolish men and even Satan himself. And there are many stories in the Bible that record people's mistakes and poor judgment. And sometimes they are there to be examples of what not to do. For example, just because Abraham lied about his wife doesn't mean that you can introduce your wife to people as your sister. And just because Jacob deceived his father Isaac doesn't mean that you can lie to your parents or steal your brother's inheritance. So you get what I'm saying there. We need to understand that the Bible is made up of different forms of literature. There's poetry and history, prophecy and parables. There's laws and letters. The Bible must be understood in its proper context. But the most important thing to know about the Bible is that it is God-breathed. It's God's Word. All of it, all 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired by God. And that's why the Bible can transform your life like no other book can. No other book is a spiritual book like the Bible. No other written word will give voice to God's thoughts and wisdom and wishes. And no other book will speak to your heart the way that the Bible can. And that's why it is essential to your spiritual growth. Because when we read it, when we read the Bible, it changes us. After Paul tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, he goes on to tell us a couple of ways in which the Bible helps us. First, he says, "And it is useful to teach us what is true." In case you haven't noticed, there's no shortage of opinions out there in these days. These days with the internet, we hear so many different stories, we really don't know what to believe. Who do we listen to? Do we listen to the independent reports on the internet, or do we listen to the network news? Do we listen to the TV celebrities, or do we listen to the politicians? Do we listen to Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil? We don't know. But how do we navigate through all these social issues, these difficult social issues that we're facing today? And there are so many churches and so many religions. Where do we go for spiritual guidance? Where do we go for moral standards? How do I know if I'm going to heaven? Well, Paul tells us all scriptures God breathed, inspired by God, and is useful for teaching us what is true. We want to understand the world we live in. We want to know the real meaning of life. We want to know the difference between what is good and what is evil and who God is. We find those answers in the Bible. It is the only source that can be completely trusted because it is God's word. And because it comes from him, we know it's true. The Psalms declare, the very essence of your words is truth. A lot of people live with a warped view of the world because they don't know what the Bible teaches. But the truth of God's word changes us by changing our perception of things. It tells us the truth. Another way that changes us is that it's able to make our lives, able to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. The truth in the Bible is not just an abstract truth. It's not just a theory. When we read the Bible, God's truth becomes very personal to us. It examines us, and it makes us aware of the evil in our hearts. God's word examines us and brings conviction of sin. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You can see that the Bible has a cleansing effect on us from the inside out. There was once a young boy who complained to his dad that he didn't want to go to Sunday school anymore. He said, "Dad, I can't remember the Bible, so why try to learn it? What's the point?" His dad said nothing but sent him to the backyard to begin to fill up his paddling pool. He gave the boy an old cracked plastic bucket. And as the boy tried filling up the paddling pool, he soon became aware that the old plastic bucket was split and very leaky. It took the boy ages just to fill the pool a little bit. Eventually, he came back to his dad and said, "What's the point when all it does is leak?" The dad picked up the old dirty bucket and showed him the inside and said, "It may not retain any water, but just look how clean it is on the inside." And in a similar way, we may not be able to recite and from memory everything that we read in the Bible, but that doesn't mean it's not affecting us. Often when I'm reading the Bible, it will shine a light in the dark corners of my heart. When it does that, I become aware of myself. I become more aware of the hidden motives and wrong attitudes that I have. And it helps me to confront my own sin. The psalmist understood the power of Scripture when he said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." God's word is a kind of safety device, like a smoke detector in your home. If something catches on fire, your smoke alarm warns you of the danger. The Bible has the same effect on us spiritually. When we read the Bible on a regular basis, it protects us from the sin in our own hearts by warning us of its present danger. And that's why Paul says it makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. Next, Paul says that it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So not only does it make us more aware of the sin in our hearts, it also points us in the right direction. It straightens us out and gets us back on the right path. The purpose of the Bible isn't to condemn, it's to transform. Not to make our life miserable, but to give us something more. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life through your word." What a tragic waste to spend a lifetime pursuing things that have no value. But the great thing about the Bible is that it rescues us from a meaningless life. God's word teaches us to live a life, the abundant life that Jesus talked about. It teaches us that people are more valuable than things. Love is better than hate. Forgiveness is better than bitterness, hope better than despair, and faith better than fear. The Bible helps us grow spiritually because it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Another way the Bible helps us to grow spiritually is that it empowers us. It empowers us. In verse 17, Paul tells us God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, the Bible wasn't man's idea, it was God's. God inspired the writing of the Bible, and God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work, which tells us that the Bible is an essential part of God's plan for our life. It's a tool that God uses to shape you into the person he created you to be. And that's what God is doing. He's working in us to change us and to shape us. Philippians 2:13 tells us, "For God is working in you. He is giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Over the past few Sundays, I've mentioned how spiritual life and growth comes from God's life-giving spirit. It's not just a human endeavor, but a spiritual one. And here we see that God uses this spiritual book to empower us for spiritual growth. And that's why reading the Bible should be a part of your daily routine. Just like we need food every day for the body, we need to feed our soul with the Word of God. Without it, we can't grow. Psalm 19:7 says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul." In other words, the Bible is a major source of nutrition and nourishment for our souls and fuels our spiritual growth. Now, these days, we really have no excuse because there are a lot of good resources out there to help us in our Bible reading. And I just want to take a moment this morning to make a couple of practical suggestions that might help you in your daily devotions. The first one is the one-year Bible. Of course, the one-year Bible is divided into 6 readings per week for a full year. And takes you from Genesis to Revelation in 365 days. Now, some might find reading through the whole Bible in 1 year to be a little bit overwhelming, but following a systematic reading plan can be beneficial because it helps us with the discipline of daily reading. And it also gives you a fuller understanding of the Bible than if you were just to pick and choose random texts throughout the Bible. Now, there are other less ambitious reading plans as well, like the one-year New Testament, and that could be a good place to start. Another good resource is the YouVersion Bible app for your cell phone or your iPad. It has a bunch of different translations on it, and it's free. It also has daily devotions and reading plans and even videos. And if you haven't downloaded that, you might want to take a look at it and check it out. It has a good resource. Another good resource is the BibleProject.com website. Now, if you go to their website, you'll find a whole bunch of short animated instructional videos about the Bible. And they can really be helpful. For example, let's say you wanted to read the Gospel of John, but you really don't know much about the background to that book. And you could go to the BibleProject.com and watch a 7 to 8 minute animated video and learn who was the author and why he wrote it and what are the major themes in the book. It can really help you to understand what you're reading when you know the context better of the book that you're reading. And this website is a great resource for that. And it's also free. Another resource that I enjoy using is the Dramatized Bible. And I downloaded NIV version from iTunes, and I really enjoy listening to it during my devotional times. It's kind of like listening to a radio theater, really, but it's the Bible word for word. There's a narrator, and all the speaking parts are read by different actors. And it's kind of cool to listen to the gospel stories and hear the characters' voices and hear the sound effects in the background and even a little bit of theatrical music in the background. It really brings the stories alive. It's really a fresh way to read the Bible. Now, the only drawback to the audio Bible is that it's not free. You have to buy it from the iTunes store. Of course, there's nothing wrong also with using a Bible made the old-fashioned way with paper and ink. But one way or the other, scripture reading needs to be a part of our daily routine. I'd also recommend that when you're spending time in the Bible, in the Word, spend some time meditating on a verse of Scripture. Take one verse and just read it over several times, just letting the words sink in. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally about the verse. Ask yourself, what does this verse teach me about who God is? What does it say to me personally? And how should I respond to it? Someone once taught me an acronym to follow when reading the Bible that's based on the word space, S-P-A-C-E. And so I asked myself, Is there a sin I need to confess? Is there a promise I need to claim? Is there an action I need to take? A commitment I need to make? Or an example I need to follow? So it's based on the word space, S-P-A-C-E. Sin, promise, action, commitment, and example. But taking time to meditate on Scripture in this way is a great way to renew and refresh your spirit. Spending time in God's Word is worth the investment. Jesus said, "Blessed are all who hear the Word of God and put it into practice." Last week we talked about how growing spiritually is a joint venture between God and the believer, just like farming. We plow the soil and plant the seed, but it's God who causes it to grow. And just like God sends the rain and the sunshine, He sends us His life-giving Spirit so we can grow spiritually. God does the work of God. Man does the work of man. Man cannot do the work of God, and God will not do the work of man. God has His role in your spiritual development, and you have your role. And He has given us His inspired Word so that we can grow. He's given us the Bible so we can have something more, so we can have the abundant life that Jesus talked about. And so it's up to us to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, and to treasure it. And when we do, we will grow spiritually and be blessed. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray together. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. It is food for our souls, Lord God. And thank You for the gift that You've shared with us, Your love letter, that reveals to us who You are, that teaches us so many things about life, and of course about salvation, and how we can know You, O God, in a personal way, and how we can receive the gift of Jesus by faith. And Lord, I pray that as we spend time in Your Word, as we follow that discipline, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would just do a great work within our own hearts, transforming us and causing us to grow. Lord, lead us through this exercise, this discipline, and may it become a joy in our lives. May it become so rich in our souls, Lord God, that we would say, as the psalmist said, that Your Word is like sweet as honey to us. Lord, I pray that You would move by Your Spirit and do a great work. Thank You that we can put our faith in You, that as we do our part, You do Your part. As we plant the seeds in our heart, You will cause it to grow. And we put our faith in You to do that. Lord, help us to grow into the people You want us to be. Be conformed more and more to the likeness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.